The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Well, the evangelical world is abuzz today because the publication that for many years was thought to be kind of the mouthpiece of evangelical Christianity in America is right at the center of a huge controversy. Yeah. Hey, my telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I want to get into this story, but it is a Friday, and that means we can discuss just about anything you want to talk about today. Christianity Today is a magazine. I have no idea what their publication is now in print. It has declined dramatically in the last few years. I think they're primarily online now. ChristianityToday.com, I think, is their website. But anyway, Christianity Today was started by Billy Graham many years ago. And as I said, it for all of these years, for at least 50 years, it has been considered, well, at least until the last few years, it has been considered the voice of evangelical Christianity in America, Christianity Today. It was conservative. It was biblically based. But in the last few years, under the editor-in-chief, Mark Galli, it has begun to drift to the left. And, class, what happens to anything that the left touches? It's destroyed. Doesn't bear any resemblance to what it used to be. And that's certainly true with Christianity Today. If you would go back, certainly if you go back 20 years, whatever Christianity Today said about this topic or that topic, the evangelical world just kind of stood up and took notice. Not anymore. I don't know anybody who actually reads it anymore because they have drifted away from their original purpose. Well, here's the latest controversy. Yesterday, editor-in-chief Mark Galli published an editorial calling for the removal of President Trump. Yep, we got to get rid of him. He's been impeached. We need to get rid of him. It was an in-depth, lengthy editorial stating that Donald Trump is immoral. He does not have any moral leadership any longer. And that the articles of impeachment delivered by the Democrats are basically unambiguous. In fact, let me quote from the editorial. This, again, is from Mark Galli, editor-in-chief of Christianity Today. The facts in this instance are unambiguous. The president of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. This is not only a violation of the Constitution, more importantly, it is profoundly immoral. All right, now, first, the Democrats in the House of Representatives believe that. But not one single Republican does. And it is one of those things where honestly, good people can disagree. Good people can disagree. And because of that, for Mark Galli to say the facts in this instance are unambiguous is reaching a conclusion that many good people would disagree with. Now, many people do agree, but here's my point. It is not unambiguous. And then he goes on. The reason that many are not shocked about this is that this president has dumbed down the idea of morality in his administration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, he says that President Trump should be removed from office. Well, the response is interesting. Those that are leaning a little to the left in the evangelical movement are chiming in and saying, hey, finally somebody has enough courage to stand up and say so. But the response that I found most interesting is from Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham. Considering that Billy Graham was one of the two founders of Christianity Today many years ago, I think it's interesting that the son of the founder would quite vehemently disagree with the editor-in-chief currently of the magazine. Franklin Graham wrote this in part. His was a lengthy response as well. Yes, my father, Billy Graham, founded Christianity Today. But no, he would not agree with their opinion piece. In fact, he would be very disappointed. I have not previously shared who my father voted for in the past election. But because of this article, I feel it is necessary to share it now. My father knew Donald Trump. He believed in Donald Trump, and he voted for Donald Trump. He believed that Donald J. Trump was the man for this hour in the history of our nation. The Democrat, he continued before accusing CT of wanting the readers to believe the Democratic Legion. Okay, back to the quotes from Franklin. For Christianity Today to side with the Democrat Party in a totally partisan attack on the President of the United States is unfathomable. Christianity Today failed to acknowledge that not one single Republican voted with the Democrats to impeach the president. I know a number of Republicans in Congress, and many of them are strong Christians. If the president were guilty of what Democrats claimed, these Republicans would have joined with the Democrats to impeach him. But the Democrats were not even unanimous. Two voted against impeachment and one voted present. This impeachment was politically motivated and 100% partisan. Why would Christianity Today choose to take the side of the Democrat left, whose only goal is to discredit and smear the name of a sitting president? They want readers to believe the Democrat leadership rather than believe the president of the United States. Well, most conservative evangelicals have spoken out criticizing Christianity Today. Some have supported Christianity Today. But the comment that I found most interesting, the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, a member of Christianity Today's publication board of directors, told the New York Times, quote, Christianity Today is very apolitical. We don't do politics. We don't even bring up politics in a board meeting. Well, they have become political in this case. Whether they wanted to or not, they have become political. Now, what I constantly plead for in this program is balance. And I have said it over and over again, and I'm sure I will say it many times in the future. There are many things that Donald Trump says and does I don't like. I have criticized him on many occasions for his language, his treatment of other people. I don't appreciate sometimes the way he treats other people, the way he treats women at times. I don't. And I would be violating my own personal conscience if I just gave unconditional support for everything he says and he does. And I don't. However, he has done more for the pro-life movement than any president in modern history. He has done more for religious freedom and liberty in America and around the world than any president in modern history. He has done more to stand for the traditional family and traditional marriage than any other president in modern history. The economy under Donald Trump has brought unemployment, especially to minorities, blacks and Hispanics, to all-time historic record lows. So I think it is wrong to overlook his weaknesses and his failures. And many Republicans and many Christians totally overlook that. I think that's wrong. But I think it is also horribly wrong to not give the man credit for what he has done, and in this impeachment thing, to at least look at it in an objective manner. And I am convinced, this is my personal opinion, when you look at the transcript and listen to the testimonies, and I listened to as much of the impeachment hearings as I possibly could, I believe anyone with any objectivity, without a partisan bias, could not possibly believe that what Donald Trump did is worthy of impeachment. I don't see how any reasonable person can believe that. Christianity Today, I believe, by taking a strictly political position when they have tried to be apolitical, has hurt their credibility greatly. And the liberal left is absolutely loving it. They have, Christianity Today is the poster child of the liberal left today. I don't think that's what they meant.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you. I don't know whether you've heard about this story. It's just sad on many levels. When I first read the story, I thought it had to be misreported. It's the story of one of the worship leaders at Bethel Church. Bethel Church has become a huge church because of their music. Particularly because of their music, they have become a worldwide influencer in the evangelical community. There have been a lot of concerns expressed by many about their doctrine on this, the doctrine of that. They're from Redding, California. But there can be no doubt about the positive impact they've had on Christian music, praise and worship music, and so forth. Well, on Saturday, the 2-year-old daughter of Callie Hyland Genthel, she and her husband, and she's a worship leader with Bethel Music, their 2-year-old daughter just died suddenly, stopped breathing, and was pronounced dead. 2 years old. And from everything I can read, there was no warning. She just died, just stopped breathing and was pronounced dead. Well, I saw the story, and the story was being reported that Bethel Church was refusing to accept her death, and they were praying for her resurrection. And I thought, no, that sounds like a Benny Hinn thing from, you know, Benny Hinn said some outrageous things several years ago. And I thought, no, this is the news media. They got to, no, it's true. Bill Johnson, the senior pastor of Bethel Church, has confirmed that they are still praying for this little girl's resurrection. In fact, he says this, quote, "Saturday, just a few days ago, we had a great tragedy. One of the key individuals in our world, their 2-year-old little girl, died quite unexpectedly, just out of nowhere. So we've been praying for the miracle of God. Mom and Dad, Andrew and Kelly, have asked us to pray for resurrection. And we've joined with them." The mother said, quote, "We're asking for prayer. We believe in a Jesus who died and conclusively defeated every grave, holding the keys to resurrection power. We're asking for bold, unified prayers from the global church to stand with us in belief that he will raise our little girl back to life. Her time here is not done, and it is our time to believe boldly and with confidence we'll what Jesus, King Jesus, paid for. It's time for her to come back to life." And according to the story, they're refusing to bury her. She's at the funeral home, but they're refusing to bury her because they are proclaiming that God can raise people from the dead, which he can. He has. Now, I wade into this cautiously and carefully. I really do. They are proclaiming publicly that God is going to resurrect this 2-year-old little girl from the dead. It's got a lot of attention, particularly out in their local area in Redding, California, and in many other places. If this little girl is not raised from the dead, number one, when do they choose to bury her? And how do they explain to the unbeliever their proclamation that they know that God is going to raise their little girl from the dead? I want to say this very cautiously and compassionately, but truthfully. Sometimes there is a fine line between faith and stupidity. Now, I don't mean that the way it could sound, but sometimes we go from faith to foolishness. So that would be a better way. I just fear the hurt and the harm to the cause of the body of Christ for claiming something that God has not promised. He can raise from the dead, but he does not promise that he will. We need to be careful, folks. We really do.